Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atakala upavritte Devaki sarvadevata Putran prasushuve jashto Kanyam chaivanuvatsaram Atakala upavritte Devaki sarvadevata Putran prasushuve chashto Kanyam chaivanuvatsaram Atakala upavritte Devaki sarvadevata Putran prasushuve chashto Kanyam chevanuvatsaram Vaishnavis. Ata. Thereafter. Kale. In due course of time. Upavrite. When it was ripe. Devaki. Devaki. The wife of Vasudev. Krishna's father. Sarvadevata. Devaki. To whom all the demigods and God himself appeared. Putran, sons, Prasushuve, gave birth to. Cha, and Ashto, eight, Kanyam, cha, and one daughter named Subhadra. Eva, indeed. Anuvatsaram, year after year. Translation. Each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God and all the demigods, gave birth to a child. Thus, she bore eight sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The spiritual master is sometimes glorified as Sarva Deva Mayo Guru, Bhagavatam 11:17-27. By the grace of the Guru, the spiritual master, one can understand the different kinds of devas. The word deva refers to God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original source of all the demigods, or also called devas. In Bhagavad Gita 10:2, the Lord says, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the source of all the devas. The Supreme Lord, Vishnu, the original person, expands in different forms. Tad aikshata Bahu Syam, from the Chandogya Upanishad 6:2-3. He alone has expanded into many. Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam, Brahma Sanghita 5:33. There are different grades of forms known as Svangsa and Vibhinangsa. The Svangsa expansions, or Vishnu Tattva, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Vibhinangsa are Jiva Tattva, who are part and parcel of the Lord. Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. If we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him, all the parts and expansions of the Lord are automatically worshipped. Savarhanam Achuta Ejva, Bhagavatam 4:31-14. Krishna is known as Achuta. Sinayor ubayor madhye ratam stapaya mechuta. By worshipping Achuta, Krishna, one automatically worships all the demigods. There is no need of separately worshipping either the Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva. If one concentrates upon Krishna, one worships everyone. Therefore, because Mother Devaki gave birth to Krishna, she is described here as Sarva Devata. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's so much to go over in this purport. I first ask for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, that I can speak properly, and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is given to us by our Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing with the Leela of Devaki and Vasudev. Vasudev has pacified Kamsa, and after pacifying Kamsa, he has entered into his own house. And it's stated that each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God and all the demigods, gave birth to a child. Thus she bore 8 sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. And so here, Devaki is called Sarvadevata, one who is given birth to all the demigods and God himself. And Srila Prabhupada explains what this means through this purport. And who are the devatas? Who are the demigods? The demigods are those who are managing the universal affairs under the direction of Krishna. It's stated that there are 33 million demigods. We, through studying Srila Prabhupada's books, we know that there's Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, who's sometimes referred to as the king of the demigods. He's in charge of the rains, the clouds. Surya, who's the demigod of the sun. Samudradev, he's the demigod of the ocean. Bhumi, the demigoddess of the earth. And on and on and on. And for us, we are taking this to be truth, that there are personalities that are managing the universal affairs. But to most people in this world, they believe in some type of higher power. But if you bring up demigods, they automatically think of mythology. Specifically, in the Western countries, when you speak of demigods, most people think of the Greek myths, the Roman mythology, which, in some cases, we can see the Greeks and the Romans, they took from Vedic culture, they took the demigods from Vedic culture and created their own stories. But we see that under Srila Prabhupada's guidance and through the Vedic literatures, we understand that there are these personalities that are managing the universe. For us, it's a truth. But for many, it's just mythology. And Srila Prabhupada starts out in the purport by saying, by the grace of the guru, the spiritual master, one can understand the different kinds of devas. So we see that one has to have grace, one has to have mercy to even understand the demigods. But is it that the spiritual master is sitting us down and by his grace telling us about the different demigods and just focusing on the demigods? No. The spiritual master is Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad He Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. That the Jiva, wandering all over the universe, going up, down, all over different living, going through different lives, they finally come in contact with the spiritual master. The spiritual master doesn't sit them down and talk about just the demigods, but he talks about Deva, which Srila Prabhupada says refers to God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the spiritual master gives Krishna, who is the source of all the devas. It is stated here, Krishna is the original source of all the demigods, aham adhira hi devanam, that even the demigods, he is the source of the demigods, and the demigods themselves, they cannot understand Krishna. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3, states that he alone has expanded into many. And there are the Sphangsa and the Vibhinangsa. And we should understand that the demigods are jivas. Brahma is a jiva, Indra is a jiva, Suryadeva is a jiva. They're living entities. And probably, most likely, some of us were those demigods in previous lives. We don't know for sure. But generally, it is stated that one comes in the as Brahma in some lifetime. So they're jivas. We don't worship jivas. There's no need to worship jivas. Why? Because Ishvara, Parama Krishna, Satchid, Ananda Vigraha, Anadir, Adir, Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of everything, is the cause of all causes, the cause of all the demigods, cause of all the spiritual and material worlds. And so we see that most people who worship the demigods, it's kamais taister hityaganaha. Their knowledge has been stolen by lust. And so we see that those who mostly worship the demigods, who are jivas, they want some type of material benediction from them. Yesterday we were hearing from Sriman Jhutakarma Prabhu about how Vrikasura wanted some type of benediction, and he went to Lord Shiva and he got the benediction because Shiva is very easily pleased. And Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna book, he talks about how Vishnu, Krishna, he is not so easily giving out benedictions because he first takes into consideration what is the best for the devotee. And he makes the point that the demigods, they're very easily pleased, but they're also very easily angered. But Vishnu takes into consideration the benedictions that he gives to his devotees. And even Vishnu's anger is beneficial, it's auspicious. Whereas the demigods, they could turn around and curse somebody. And we see that there's so many rakshasas, Vrikasura, Ravana, he did such intense austerities to Lord Shiva to get power, to get material opulence. Hiranyakashipu, he stood on his tippy toes raising his arms in the air for thousands of years until his body was all eaten away by ants. Only his skeleton was remaining. He's keeping his life airs inside of the bones. But he was doing such austerities to please Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma gave him benediction. But we see that the demigods are giving benedictions to these rakshasas, who then in turn disturb the universal management. They give disturbance to the demigods. And it's interesting that the demigods, they're giving out benedictions that are ultimately going to not be in their favor to these demons. And we see that Vishnu is, he comes and he has to save the demigods from their own benedictions. Right? Nisringadev, Ram, they all came to put everything back together. And so one can say that Vishnu is like the parent. And with the demigods, they're like little children playing with toys and they make such a big mess, and the parent has to come and put everything back together nicely. So Vishnu, he comes back and puts everything together, that the demigods have given out benedictions and there's so much disturbance. So we see that these personalities, even people today, they're in such confusion as to who the Lord is and who to worship because their knowledge is stolen by lust. They want material prosperity. And so they seek out the demigods rather than Krishna because the demigods are easily pleased. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Yata toror mula nishe chanena tripyanti skanda bujo pasakaha prano paracha yatendriya nam yatataiva savarhana machuta ejva. That by watering the root of the tree, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, they all become watered. Prano paracha yatendriya nam. By feeding the stomach, all the rest of the body gets nourishment. Right? If we don't go to a plant and water just the leaf, thinking that the plant is going to get nourishment out of just watering the leaf. And we know that I can't just feed my hand prasadam. Right? Take some burfi and just mash it into my hand, thinking that it's going to get nourishment. No, we need to eat and put it inside of our stomach, and then the stomach distributes all the nourishment to the rest of the body. So similarly, by worshipping Krishna, Everybody is worshipped. Everybody is nourished. This is the beauty of bhakti. That through bhakti, everybody is worshipped. Whereas when somebody singles out a jiva or a demigod to worship, they're only watering the leaf. Not everybody is getting nourished. And we see that this is why yajna is so important. Yajna means to worship Vishnu. Yajna means to please Vishnu. And by pleasing Vishnu, Bhagavad Gita states that all the rains come from the rain's grains. So just by practicing bhakti, the whole world, the whole universe, everybody gets benefit. Just by us chanting our 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, going to the programs in the temple, going out on service, whatever our service may be, it's beneficial to the whole world. Why? Because we're watering the root of the tree. We're worshiping Krishna. Now, there's a very interesting pastime that takes place long ago, right after the story of Rikasura and Shiva is told. There's another pastime that's very instructive, and it's one of the last pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there were sages who had gathered at the bank of the Sarasvati River. And when great sages get together, they talk about philosophical topics, they discuss the Vedas, they discuss the absolute truth. And so there was a discussion that arose in the assembly of sages at the bank of the Sarasvati that out of the primary deities in this material world, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, which one is the greatest? So these sages, they were all in different agreements of who was the greatest. And so Bhrigu Muni, who is the son of Lord Brahma, he was chosen to find out who is the greatest. And the deity who is the greatest has to have the mode of goodness in full. That's the qualification of being the greatest deity, is having the mode of goodness in full. So he devised a plan and he set off to go see his father, Lord Brahma. And so when he came before his father, he did not greet his father. He did not say anything. He didn't bow down. He remained kind of silent in front of his father. And it's stated, or Srila Prabhupada states, that when the son goes before the father, or a disciple goes before the spiritual master, or a person goes before a deity, that there are mantras that are spoken, or there are praises that are supposed to be spoken in front of the father or the deity. And Bhrigu Muni, he didn't do any of these. He just stayed there silently, not giving any respect to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma became angry at this. Lord Brahma himself, he became angry. But Lord Brahma, using his intelligence, he understood that this is my son, and I shouldn't curse him, I shouldn't be angry at him. So after he became angry, his anger subsided. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of how in the beginning of creation, water is made out of fire, but then fire can extinguish. Water can extinguish fire. So his anger was subsided because of his intelligence. And so next, Bhrigu Muni, he went to Mount Kailash, where he saw Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva and him are brothers. And Lord Shiva came to embrace his brother. But Bhrigu Muni, he spoke and he said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me. You're covered in ashes. I don't want to be defiled by you." Of course, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's Srila Sanatana Goswami states that Lord Shiva covers his body in the ashes of Vaishnavas. And even the skulls that he sometimes wears are the skulls of Vaishnavas. But Bhrigu Muni, wanting to test Lord Shiva, he said that, "No, you're contaminated. Don't touch me." So he made a verbal offense to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was so angry, he was almost about to kill his brother. And Goddess Parvati, she had to come and beg Lord Shiva to subside his anger. She bowed down at his lotus feet and begged him to give up his anger. She invoked in him the mode of goodness. And so Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, he talks about how these offenses get more and more severe. Offenses can be with the mind, words, or the body. And so with Lord Brahma, he made offenses with the mind. Lord Shiva, he made offenses verbally. So it's getting more and more aggressive, you could say. And so when he went to Svetadrip to see Lord Vishnu, he walked right up to Lord Vishnu and kicked him in the chest. Can we imagine doing such a thing? But he wanted to test Lord Vishnu. And so he kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. And Lord Vishnu did not become angry at all. Actually, Lord Vishnu got up, he paid his respects to the Brahmana, and started praising Bhrigu Muni, saying, "Oh Brahmana, you've come. You've come to actually purify Svetadrip. And since my chest is so hard, your foot must have become hurt by kicking me. So please let me massage your foot." And Lord Vishnu started massaging Bhrigu Muni's foot and giving him more and more praises. Even though Lakshmi Devi, she saw this and she became a little bit angered. And to this day, this is why Brahmanas are usually bereft of Lakshmi Devi's mercy. They remain poor because of Bhrigu Muni kicking the chest of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, he didn't become angered at all. In fact, he worshipped Bhrigu Muni. And so Bhrigu Muni, he went back and he told everybody what had happened. And they all declared that Vishnu is the greatest of them all because he was completely in the mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva. And Prabhupada gives the examples of how a lamp in just a slight breeze will waver. But the sun, even in a great hurricane, nothing happens. And so Srila Prabhupada makes a very significant statement in Krishna book that's really powerful that we should really take into our heart. He states that to estimate one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Now we know in this world there's so many provoking situations around us, either coming from the mind, coming from our body, coming from other living entities, coming from the devatas. But Srila Prabhupada says that one's greatness is estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. And so we see that even the devotees, Trinadapi Snichena, Torori Vasihishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, the Vaishnavas, they have the qualities of Krishna, of Vishnu. And so we see through this pastime, which is one of the last pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is declaring that Vishnu is the greatest, even above Brahma and Shiva, what to speak of other demigods. But at the same time, we shouldn't disrespect the demigods, knowing that they are part and parcel of Krishna, and they're actually arranged by Krishna to manage the universal affairs. And we see that even some of the demigods, they serve Krishna very nicely. We can see in Vrindavan, there's Gopeshwar Mahadev. He's protecting the Rasleela. And even in Navadvip, there's Praudamaya. Durga Devi herself is there as Praudamaya, and she's one of the protectors of the Dham. So the demigods, they should not be disrespected. Sometimes devotees, they think that the demigods should be disrespected or not given so much importance, but actually they're performing their tasks under the mercy of Krishna. And we even see that sometimes the greatest devotees, for instance, the gopis, they were worshipping Katyayani. In the Katyayani Vrata, they were engaging in vratas and austerities and worshipping Durga Devi, although our Vaishnava Acharyas point out that they're actually worshipping Yogamaya. But they're worshipping Katyayani Devi, or Goddess Durga. But they're not worshipping Katyayani for material benedictions. They're not wanting material prosperity. But they're actually pleading with Katyayani Devi to give Krishna as their husband. So this is the mood of the Vaishnavas, that even if we come before the demigods, there might be a statue of a devata or a murti of a devata, we beg them for Krishna bhakti. We beg the devatas to encourage us in our devotional service. And the demigods, they're actually wanting us to engage in Krishna bhakti. The demigods are not in a fight, you know, saying, no, worship me, don't worship Krishna, worship us. They're not like that. They want us to worship Krishna. And there's a very, very powerful pastime of Govinda Das Kaviraj. Govinda Das Kaviraj is the brother of Ramachandra Kaviraj. And Govinda Das Kaviraj, he wrote the song, Bhaja Hure Mana Shri Nandanandana. And his mother was named Sunanda. And she was giving birth to Govinda Das Kaviraj, but he didn't want to come out. He was staying in the womb too long, and it was his time to come out, but he wasn't coming out. And so his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, was a great devotee of Goddess Durga, Goddess Kali, actually. He was a Shakta. And so there was a maidservant who was helping Govinda Das Kaviraj's mother give birth. And so he pointed to the weapon of Goddess Durga. And she couldn't understand what he meant. So she took the chopper or the weapon of Goddess Durga and she bathed the weapon. And she took the water and gave it to Govinda Das Kaviraj's mother to drink. And when she drank that water, Govinda Das Kaviraj was born. And so everybody, since his birth, they knew that, oh, Govinda Das Kaviraj, he was born by the mercy of Bhagavati. He was born by the mercy of Durga. And so he himself, he became a great follower of, great worshipper of Durga. But then his brother, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was converted. He became a great Vaishnava by meeting Srinivasacharya. Actually, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was on his wedding day, he was riding on his palanquin. And Srinivasacharya and Vaishnavas were there. And they saw Ramachandra on the palanquin. There was such a big procession, such greatness going on. And Srinivasacharya, he looked at him and he said, there's a great noose around this man's neck and he doesn't know that he's pulling it tighter and tighter. And by saying that, Ramachandra Kaviraj, he woke to his Krishna consciousness and he followed Srinivasacharya. And Govinda Das Kaviraj, meeting his brother, he wanted to engage in Krishna consciousness, but for all his time, he was worshipping Goddess Durga. And even he felt some responsibility because she had helped him in his birth. But then Goddess Durga came to him personally and said that you will not obtain any salvation or any liberation if you do not worship Krishna, if you do not take shelter of Srinivasacharya. And so by Goddess Durga's mercy, he was able to engage in devotional service. So this pastime, it shows us how the demigods are actually wanting us to engage in the worship of Krishna. There's no fight between the demigods and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada ends the purport was stating that there's no need of separately worshipping either the Vishnu tattva or Jiva tattva. If one concentrates upon Krishna, one worships everyone. And so this is something that is very unique for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that our Goswami, specifically Srila Rupa Goswami, has dedicated Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita states is his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, that it shows that Krishna is Purna Bhagavan. Srila Rupa Goswami, he goes detail by detail by detail, showing how Krishna is Svayam Rupa. He's the origin of all origins, even the origin of all the other Vishnu Tattva. And Srimad Bhagavatam states, Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Svayam. And our Vaishnavacharyas speak about how this is the Paribhasha Sutra. This is the statement through how we should read the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Paribhasha Sutra, in any scripture, it gives a lens to see the whole rest of the scripture. So there could be many different contradictory statements, seemingly contradictory, but looking through this verse, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, then there's no more confusion. And Srila Prabhupada, he has made it so clear to us. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, in his PhD thesis, he writes about how the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada states this over and over again, making it so clear for us, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was even so happy when the daughter of Shamasundar and Malati, Sarasvati, she would go up to people and say, do you know who Krishna is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy that she just knew this. And this is so special to our Gaudiya Vaishnav theology. And Srila Prabhupada, just to end with this purport, in Bhagavad Gita 1865, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that these words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanghita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. And so Srila Prabhupada has made it so clear for us. You know, there's so many people that are following different spiritual paths, taking different gurus, and they become so confused in life. You know, talking with people who are following a spiritual path, and you see they become so confused, even with demigod worship, who the demigods even are. They're so confused about what they're actually doing, but they believe that they're following a spiritual path. But Srila Prabhupada has made everything so clear to us, and all we have to do is accept him as the main authority and read his books. And by his grace, Srila Prabhupada, he reveals everything to us in such a clear way that we don't need to speculate. We don't need to be confused. So I'll stop there if there are any questions or comments. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.